Welcome back to the Brittany Hughes Show. Crazy week. Absolutely crazy week. We kicked it off with President Joe Biden essentially erasing women's sports and women's spaces and basically declaring all-out war on women when he amended Title IX of the federal code, which, side note, should not even exist because there's nothing at all in the Constitution that gives the federal government the right to be involved in our education system at all. But that's a discussion for a different day. Biden amended the federal code to include gender identity as a protected class against so-called discrimination, essentially mandating that public schools and universities that receive federal funding have to allow biological males to utilize female-only changing areas and locker rooms and sports teams according to their gender identity. You cannot bar them from accessing the spaces or the resources or the athletic programs that correspond with their gender identity. It doesn't matter what their actual biology is, what it says on their birth certificate, what it says in their DNA. All that matters is their gender identity. Of course, it also allows gender-confused women who believe that they are men to do the same thing. Although, frankly, that doesn't pose nearly the same threat to biological males as it does when you allow a boy or a man to invade women's spaces and to participate on women's sports teams. As we have seen, they've got a clear and undeniable physical advantage, which multiple studies have proven, studies that we don't even need because we can use our own gray matter and, you know, retinas to figure this out. This is not a mystery here. And we've seen female athletes all across the country suffer the consequences of it to the point of even being physically injured by gender-confused guys. But according to Joe Biden, all of this is okay, and we need to protect mentally ill men at the expense of women. So that's how we started this week. And we should have known, based on that, that things would get even more insane from there. So now, on top of all of that insanity, if that weren't bad enough, which would already be a heck of a thing to deal with, now we've got thousands of anti-Semitic, anti-Jew protesters all across college and university campuses all across this country, including some of our most esteemed universities, or at least they used to be. And it's a shocking scene. Schools, including many Ivy League institutions, for whatever that title is worth anymore, frankly, not worth any more than toilet paper, in my opinion, but now they are imploding under a barrage of anti-Jew, pro-Palestine protests. And this is largely from students. Protesters have set up unlawful encampments in, you know, quote unquote, solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza, who they say are being unfairly targeted by Israel. Jewish students on campus have been the targets of open harassment and even violence. There's video and firsthand reports of students waving pro-Hamas flags and signs and calling for the annihilation of Israel completely, demanding a free Palestine, quote, from the river to the sea, which would effectively destroy the state of Israel, considering that it lies between the river and the sea. Students have shouted, death to America, kill all Zionists, long live Hamas. This is on video. This has actually been captured on video. There's one photo circulating of a blonde girl, a student, wearing a headscarf, standing in front of a group of Jewish students who are holding American and Israeli flags. This is at Columbia University, by the way. And this girl is holding a sign that reads, Al-Qassam's next target, with an arrow pointing to the Jewish students, Al-Qassam being the death squad, the military arm of Hamas. And networks like CBS are actually claiming that there's been no anti-Jew sentiment at these protests. There's nothing anti-Semitic at these protests. You know, these are peaceful protests, that these are people who are merely criticizing Israeli tactics and policy. But there is tons of video of protesters literally screaming in abject support of terrorists by name. To his credit, Jake Tapper aired some of this footage on CNN Monday. Here's that clip.
Here's an example. Take a listen. So, praise for Hamas, a terrorist group, praise for Al-Qassam, which is the military arm of the terrorist group Hamas, saying they love Hamas, saying that they want Tel Aviv to be burned to the ground, saying they want Israeli soldiers and Israeli settlers to be murdered. It's anti-Semitism. That's what that is. Full stop.
Tell Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. That's what these students are chanting. They are praising Hamas by name. They are calling for terrorists to blow up Tel Aviv, to burn it to the ground. They are calling on terrorists to fire more rockets into Israel to kill civilians, which I've been told is exactly what these protesters are supposedly advocating against, right? The killing of Palestinian civilians. That's the whole premise, right? That's what we're told these protests are about. This is about criticism of Israel. But here you have students screaming for more Israelis to die at the hands of Palestinian terrorists, and that's going largely ignored. This is not criticism of Israel's policies, which is what many on the left would like you to believe. This isn't saying, you know, look, Israel has the right to defend itself against terrorists. We just think they're being, you know, too heavy-handed in how they're doing it. Or, you know, maybe we should work harder and figure out a way to make sure children don't get caught in the crossfire. You know, I've got my own opinions on how feasible that would be given Hamas's penchant for using civilians as human shields. I'm not sure that avoiding civilian casualties in this situation is realistic at all. But that would at least be an understandable feeling, right? Nobody wants to see children blown up and buried under buildings. That's horrific. It's a horrific side effect of war. It always has been. And it's stomach-churning every single time. But that's not what these students are saying. They are openly calling for violence against Jewish people. And it is shocking when you look at what we're seeing on Columbia's campus and at NYU and Yale and Princeton and other schools across the country when you see the open and shameless targeting of Jews. And then you remember it's really only been about 80 years since the Holocaust. It's only been 23 years since 9/11, and New York City was ground zero. We understand, or at least we should understand, as a country, what it's like being attacked on our own soil and needing to respond to a physical threat. And yet here we are watching students side with terrorists against Israel and the Jews. And that doesn't just happen all of a sudden out of the blue. And to understand what's going on here and how in the world we could have thousands of people, students at supposedly some of the most, you know, prestigious universities in the nation, which is a title that used to mean something, you know, these are schools that educated presidents and inventors and people that founded and built this nation. And now on these same campuses, we have thousands of students rallying in support of a terrorist organization. And the citizens who voluntarily support them, let's not forget here that multiple polls conducted over years have found that the majority of Palestinians openly say they support Hamas. Those two entities cannot be divided as though they are two completely separate things. Palestinians overwhelmingly say they support Hamas. So to say that these people are getting caught up in a war between Israel and the terrorists that they can't do anything about and they don't agree with, that's simply not true. An AP poll last December, this was conducted 2 months after the Israel terror attack on October 7th. 2 months after that, an AP poll found that 57% of Palestinians in Gaza and 82% in the West Bank say they believe Hamas was correct in launching the October attack. Only 10% said they believed Hamas had committed war crimes, you know, when they raped and murdered and beat and burned and kidnapped over 1,000 Israeli civilians, because apparently civilians don't matter when they're Jewish, only when they're Palestinian. 44% of Palestinians in the West Bank said they supported Hamas, up from just 12% in September. So you have September, right? And then the terror attack in October, and support for Hamas surges. And remember, Palestinians elected Hamas in 2006 and gave them a parliamentary majority, which they've held ever since. That was voluntary on the part of Palestinians. So to say that Palestinians are not Hamas and do not agree with Hamas is simply untrue. And yet these ignorant students who don't know their heads from a hole in the wall see Palestinians as the victims here, instead of the over 1,000 Israelis who were, you know, raped and murdered and dragged away from their homes on October 7th. There are still hostages supposedly being held in Gaza, which I think, you know, you probably believe in unicorns if you believe that any of those hostages are still alive. I would love to believe that they are. I would love to, you know, believe that we're going to see a return of more hostages in the future. But the longer time passes, the more I fear that is not true. I don't believe that many, if at all, of these hostages are even still alive at this point, which is a horrible tragedy. But everybody seems to have forgotten about them, right? You put a poster of a child that was ripped out of their crib by a Hamas terrorist and hauled off into Gaza on a lamppost in New York City, and some pro-terrorism shill comes along and rips it down. And that's perfectly okay. In fact, some of these people are so stupid, are so willfully ignorant of the situation, have done so little critical thinking about what it is they're advocating for, they can't even articulate why they're protesting. Here's one Columbia student speaking to the Post-Millennial, I believe it was, saying that she had come all the way down to NYU to protest for Palestine, but she couldn't actually say what she was mad about.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here at NYU?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops.
Not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, wouldn't you say? In fact, that thing's flickering like a bulb in a haunted house, growing dimmer by the second. This is a student who attends one of the, you know, historically at least, one of the most elite universities in the country. John Jacob Astor went to Columbia University. Some of the most successful businessmen and women and playwrights and novelists, some of the most successful people this country has ever seen, Columbia grads. And now it's filled with intellectual zombies wandering around beating bongos and chanting for a new Holocaust because they're so bereft of intelligence and their academic institutions have utterly failed them. And on some campuses, the faculty have joined in. At NYU, there were faculty members in face masks, so that should tell you what we're working with here, right? We're 4 years past COVID and they're wearing face masks, linking arms in a human chain around students that are camped out illegally on the lawn in solidarity with Palestinian encampments, right? This tells you right here where the problem has originated. If you're watching all of this wondering how in the world did we get to this point, how in the world are we actually watching this in real time? It's not just that these students lack the basic intelligence of a dung beetle, okay? They have been indoctrinated from the get-go with this cancerous ideology that pits segments of people against one another based on the left's new definition of social justice. We have a new standard now. We have a new metric that the left has embedded in the education system to skew the way that young people look at these situations and how they see victims and perpetrators. What you're seeing right now on campus is not just anti-Jew hatred. These students did not just wake up one day and decide, you know who I'm going to hate and blame for the world's problems? The Jews. Seems as good a group as any, right? Just the Jews. Any more than Germans back in World War II just popped up one day and decided that the Jewish watchmaker down the street that they've known for the last 20 years was the source of all their issues. That's not how that happened. That's not how this ever happens. They were fed this lie by a system, by a government, that rewrote history according to categories of victimhood that best benefited those in power. What we're seeing on college campuses today is a natural and predictable extension of the sort of anti-white, anti-colonialist, revisionary history that's being taught by these universities where anyone who is seen as the oppressor is somehow inherently the villain, and then you have the oppressed over here who are just helpless victims, and those are the team lines, and there's no room for discussion. And when you have that being taught on an educational level, right, this sort of binary view between the oppressed and the oppressor, like the notion that all of the Native American tribes were just frolicking around in a field of daisies, holding hands and singing kumbaya before all of the evil white people from Europe showed up. And, you know, all of the African tribes were getting along swimmingly and everything was great until all of the white people from Europe showed up. And, you know, all of the tribes and the civilizations in Central and South America were just living in harmony and nobody was violent until all of the white people from Europe showed up. And of course, that's not at all what was happening, right? Is it true that in the conquest of continents that humans did some horrible and barbaric things? Absolutely. But the humans that were already there were already doing horrible and barbaric things before anybody else even showed up. They were doing it to one another. Have you read anything on the history of, I don't know, the Lakota, the Sioux? The Comanche, these were incredibly violent tribes that waged horrific wars against one another, often in the conquest of land and resources. The Aztecs in Central America, horribly barbaric culture. In Africa, tribes were fighting and conquering one another. That's where so much of the slave trade originated. It was the selling off of prisoners of war, which, by the way, slavery did not start with white folks showing up on the, you know, the coast of Africa. Slavery in Africa dates back to ancient Egypt. And frankly, I doubt there were too many Caucasians wandering around the pyramids cracking whips. These are horrific human rights abuses that trace back to the dawn of time and are often much more complicated than what our sensibilities would like us to believe. This is unfortunately the story of humanity in a fallen and sinful world that is not operating the way God created it to be. And this is what happens. And it's happened since the dawn of time. And these stories have been rewritten by a leftist education system controlled by a political elite who benefit from perpetual victimhood of certain segments of society, who benefit from a fractured culture, who directly profit from a divisive narrative that says these people are victims and in need of government-controlled help, and these people are the inherent perpetrators. And that's the end of the story. Because if they can get us fighting one another, nobody's fighting them. Nothing more to see here. This is the black and white, in some cases, literally, rewriting of history. And it's now filtered into our education system, and our young people are learning history through the lens of racial oppression without any regard to other factors. And then you take that and you couple it with the easy access to social media. Don't get me wrong here. Social media can be a fantastic platform. You know, we here at MRC, we have seen how we're able to utilize it to reach an audience that would not otherwise be exposed to certain information. Stories that, you know, back when you relied on major networks to bring you your news, certain things, you know, that didn't make headlines or weren't being reported or were being reported in a slanted way. Social media has opened up the ability to share information beyond the control of the machine, right? And young people are constantly taking in information. Or, you know, quote unquote reports through social media, more so than they are the traditional news machine, right? Newspapers, you know, just, you know, news websites. A lot of their information is being gotten through social media. And we've seen how the Palestinians, you know, Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, one and the same, has utilized social media for propaganda. And how images and videos are manufactured. Did you see that one Palestinian crisis actor from a couple of months ago? It's this one guy. It's very obvious it's the same guy. And he kept cropping up in all of these photos of victims supposedly bleeding out all over the floor, right? He'd be trapped under a pile of rubble in one photo and then, you know, bleeding on a hospital gurney in another photo and, you know, then bleeding out in a house that's collapsed in another photo. And then the next thing you know, you'd see him in another picture where he's a doctor tending to a wounded child who's screaming. And then in the next photo, he's running for his life from a building that's exploding. And there were dozens and dozens of photos of this guy. And you started to realize, oh my gosh, none of this is real. These are staged photos. This is an actual crisis actor. And they're being put out there by the Palestinian Authority, which is to say Hamas, as evidence from the ground of how these innocent Palestinians are being oppressed by these evil Israelis. I mean, you remember the time that Israel supposedly blew up a hospital, and it turns out that it was actually the parking lot, and that the photos from this supposed act of war were either fake or had been taken from another incident like 2 years ago. Remember that? But before the actual information came out, before it was determined that this had been largely staged, that the calamity on the ground was largely manufactured, right? Israel had not leveled a hospital. Oh, and by the way, it wasn't even Israel that bombed this place. It was a Hamas rocket that had fallen in the wrong spot. Either that or they did this on purpose because they knew that they would get bukus of bleeding heart press out of it. Would not put it past them. They are terrorists after all. But you had Rashida Tlaib coming out immediately accusing Israel of war crimes. Ilhan Omar accusing Israel of war crimes. And you take these students in the West who have already been brainwashed to accept this oppressor-oppressed narrative that has been created, to accept that, you know, this group over here is good and this group over here is evil. And then you show them a bunch of photos like this, purporting to show some massacre happening on the ground. You put all of that out there and voila, now you have yourself a bunch of students stomping around with their self-righteous fury, ignorant of the actual facts and unwilling to learn. You have people like the willful idiot over at Columbia tromping over to NYU because she heard that someone needed her support, and this is her chance to feel important. Like she's part of something bigger, like she's fighting for justice. She's not interested in learning the facts or applying critical thinking to the situation. She's not interested in actually finding out if she's wrong here or maybe there's something she's missing. She's a sheep following all the other little sheep, bleating as loud as they can into their megaphones because she's been told that they're quote-unquote fighting the oppressors, and that's all these idiots care to know. And now you've got a social contagion of popular stupidity. And the schools don't know what to do with this monster they've created, and you see them scrambling. In response to the protests, Columbia University called the situation a crisis. They actually deactivated the ID badge of a professor at Columbia School of Business, Shai Davidi. They barred him from accessing their Morningside Heights campus because the school said they, quote, can't guarantee his safety. This is a professor that teaches at Columbia University, and the school deactivated his ID card and wouldn't let him on campus because he is Jewish and they could not guarantee his safety. The school has moved classes online, including exams, so that students, particularly Jewish students, who don't feel safe on campus can stay home. Some Jewish students have already been targeted with harassment and violence by protesters. And now schools are saying, look, we'll let you take your classes online and stay at home. You've paid bukus of money for this school, but you don't actually come to campus because we cannot guarantee that you will be safe here. They're willing to call the situation a crisis. They're more than willing to boot Jewish people off campus, but they won't expel and remove those who are posing the threat. This is unbelievable. And I think this is where leftists are so hypocritical because they hate free speech when you call a man, or if you're a baker who doesn't want to make a cake for a gay wedding, or when you write a news story about, you know, Hunter Biden, then they're all about controlling speech. But when it comes to actually, you know, dealing with the threat of anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish protesters who are posing a threat to people on college campuses because of their ethnicity, the left hides behind, oh, well, free speech. Protesters are calling for violence against the Jews and the destruction of Israel to the point where a school can't even hold classes in person and has to ban Jewish professors from campus because it's literally that unsafe. But free speech. So to remind here, the First Amendment protects the right to speech and to peaceably assemble. This is not a peaceable assembly. This is trespassing. This is threatening. This is harassment. At the very least, it presents a physical hazard that I believe the school has every right and responsibility to address. And frankly, Those are some of the nicer words I could use because I do think that some of what we've seen over the past few weeks crosses the line into being a threat to national security. But suddenly the left is all about free speech. And by the way, they're also all about making sure that we separate the peaceful protesters from the ones calling for the death of the Jews. You notice that? I'm old enough to remember about 5 seconds ago when Donald Trump looked at a rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Remember? When a whole mess of people showed up and they peacefully protested the removal of Confederate statues in their city because they believed it was a part of history and that these were iconic landmarks in this historic city in Virginia, and they didn't want anybody ripping them down, and they had a right to feel that way and to say their piece, and they did. And then like half a dozen neo-Nazis showed up and caused a problem, and a person was hit with a car and tragically died, and it was awful. And all Trump was trying to do was to point out that the vast majority of the people at this rally were peaceful, law-abiding citizens who had simply shown up to voice their concerns and their opinions about the removal of a statue in their city, which was their right under the First Amendment. They weren't violent. They were not intending harm to anyone. They were very fine people, and that's what he said. And the left lost their ever-loving minds over the fact that he would dare say there were very fine people among neo-Nazis, which is not at all what he said. But that's the lie they peddled. They peddled it for years. And by the way, Joe Biden is still spewing it to this day. He was repeating that lie not 3 weeks ago during a speech. But now that leftists are in the streets screaming for the death of the Jews and praising Hamas terrorists and telling them to blow up the Israeli capital, now all of a sudden the leftist media are peeing themselves and stumbling all over the place to point out that, hey, not every student is saying that stuff, and it's very important that we separate the very fine people from the extremists, because we can't have everybody believing that leftists are just a bunch of, you know, anti-Semitic racist Jew haters, which is exactly what they are, but we can't have people seeing it, right? So here's a CNN panel actually fighting among one another to make sure that nobody conflates these two sides.
Look, I think the anti-Semitism stuff, particularly Passover, is a big issue. It's a legitimate issue to talk about. It's a serious issue, and I think there's a lot of anti-Semitic stuff going on out there. But when you're saying you're Hamas, when you're praising Hamas, when you're praising Hezbollah, when you're saying you're going to globalize the Intifada.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
I'm going to finish my point. It means you're pro-terrorist. If you are celebrating Hamas, you're a pro-terrorist.
I'm not disputing that. What I'm saying.
That's my point.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there are selective quotes that are being taken, often not from students themselves. In the encampments in Colombia, they have said this. There are Jewish students who are actually part of this.
Very fine people. Very fine people there, right? Yeah, some are calling for the death of the Jews, you know. Yeah, some have targeted their fellow Jewish students with violence. Sure, one girl held up a sign calling for Jewish students to be killed by terrorists, but there are also plenty of very fine people. The hypocrisy here is not only stunning, it is obvious. They're not even trying to hide it because they know that they play by an entirely different set of rules. They don't care. It's intentional. Their violence is okay. Their racism is okay. Their riots are okay. God forbid you hold an American flag in one hand and a Bible in the other and advocate for your Second Amendment right because you're a white supremacist who probably wants children to die. And not only do we have these people in the media, in our universities, and all throughout our education system, they're in the halls of our Congress, and they're raising up the next generation of radicals. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, was arrested. I get a kick out of this story. This is the one little sunspot that I have in this whole entire debacle. Was arrested and temporarily suspended from Barnard University last week for participating in an unauthorized encampment at Columbia. Barnard, by the way, is Columbia's sister school. It's located in Manhattan, if you didn't already know. It's a $90,000 a year school. And Hirsi here immediately began complaining that she'd be homeless and hungry because she couldn't access her dorm room or the school cafeteria, which I just find frankly hilarious. You get what you get when you do what you do, and you got suspended. I don't know, maybe go to your anti-Semitic mother in Congress who rakes in $174,000 a year to shill for terrorists and ask her for help. Because I'm pretty sure that this young lady did not get into a $90,000 a year school on her charm and good looks alone. She also claims that she was hit with chemical weapons by pro-Jewish students at the protest. Turns out it was fart spray. fart spray. A student at the Columbia protest was actually suspended, and now he's launched a lawsuit against the school because he said that he fired a novelty item called liquid ass into the air over the protest. These are the chemical weapons that Ilhan Omar's daughter claimed on MSNBC that she was hit with. It was fart spray, which, I mean, frankly, is what she's full of anyway, so I don't see why it bothered her so much. But her mom, Ilhan Omar, who has shilled for Palestinians and terrorists for years, tweeted that she's, quote, so proud of her daughter for taking part in these anti-Israel protests that are currently, you know, threatening the physical safety of Jews to the point where they can't come on campus. Beyond the obvious problems of the stupidity of these protesters and the rot that has infected our education system, we have members of Congress praising this, and that should be terrifying. Here's Omar at the University of Minnesota celebrating students for participating in anti-Jew protests in solidarity with Gaza.
I have the proud honor of representing this incredible university in Congress. And I have to tell you, I am incredibly moved by your courage and bravery as a student body in putting your bodies on the line to stand in solidarity to end the genocide that is taking place in Gaza at this moment. I have to tell you, it's been incredibly painful for the last 5 days to see the discovery, while there is a discovery, of a mass grave of more than 200 Palestinians in Khan Yunus, that our media, our elected politicians, our president, every single leader is spending their time and energy in talking about the protests as if you all are not here to give voice to the genocide that is taking place in Gaza.
What genocide? Seriously, what genocide? The definition of genocide is the intentional extermination of a people group based on their ethnicity. That's a genocide. When you target a people group for extermination based on their ethnicity, Israel is not exterminating Palestinians based on their ethnicity. They're not exterminating them at all. Israel is the ones who've been supplying Gaza with clean water for decades because the troglodytes over there running the country are too busy spending their cash building tunnels and firing rockets like a bunch of barbarians in loincloths. If Israel wanted to exterminate Palestinians, they have the means to do so. Killing civilians who get caught in the crossfire because you're aiming for the violent terrorist hiding behind them, that's not a genocide. It's a casualty of war. A war that, by the way, Hamas voluntarily started. In part because they know, I believe, that Westerners are by and large too stupid and too sackless to allow Israel to respond to the threat. Hamas knows that they can get away with murdering civilians and raping women and burning children and, you know, beating little old grandmas to death, because then they'll just go hide behind the nearest toddler, and no one in the West can stomach the idea of killing an innocent person in wartime. It's really quite pathetic. If we had to fight the American Revolution all over again, we would never make it past Lexington and Concord. And Hamas knows this. And now you have congresswomen like Ilhan Omar and AOC praising anti-Jew protests, you know, filled with terrorist shills, and accusing Israel of genocide because they don't believe Israel has the right to exist in the first place. That's ultimately what this comes down to. This country should not exist in the first place, so everything that they do is an act of violence and oppression. They shouldn't even be there in the first place. And frankly, they don't believe that America should exist either. To them, these are nations built on systemic oppression and violence against innocent native people who were just trying to peaceably live their lives. That is the history they've rewritten and fabricated, and they're teaching it to the next generation. And unfortunately, if what we're seeing on our college and university campuses is any indication, it is working. It is working. We are seeing the destruction of America, of the West, in real time. And it did not happen overnight. And with that, that's the Brittany Hughes Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you'll be back with me next Thursday. In the meantime, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on the Brittany Hughes Show so you won't ever miss an episode. You can also subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast with Tim Graham. That one's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We are staying on top of everything you need to know about this story and what is happening on college campuses over at mrctv.org. You can find information there. You can find videos there, things that CBS is certainly not going to show you, things that apparently CNN is having trouble actually calling evil, which is exactly what it is. So head over to mrctv.org. Make sure that you follow us on social media, and that way you will be up to date about everything that's happening. I will see you guys back here next Thursday. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and a blessed week ahead.